Excited about the word. Praise the Lord. If you don't mind, I think I'm going to move closer to you. I put my deodorant on. Don't worry. I smell good this morning. Praise God. Well, we're excited about the word, I hope, right? You know, I say that because, you know, Jesus said this before we get going. He said, blessed are they. You know, blessed, that means satisfied, right? That means full of good things. And Jesus said, blessed are they. So he was talking about a certain group of people. He says, which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Well, the Bible's righteousness. The preaching and teaching of the word is righteousness. And Jesus said it will only benefit and it will only fill and it will only satisfy those who are hungry for it, right? And you know, we live in a fleshly body that might be tired, that might be worn down, that might be, not all here today. But I'll tell you what, our spirits need to reign supreme here this morning. And your spirit is so excited to hear God's word this morning. You know, the Bible calls the Bible says that the word of God is like food to your spirit. Well, I mean, I don't know about you, but I'll tell you what, I look a certain way when I'm hungry. And I act, you know what I mean? How happy are you when you come, you know, you haven't ate all day and you come and there's just a full table of food? I mean, you're pumped, right? And you know, see, the good thing about your spirit is it never gets full. It never can get too much of God. You know, your flesh, you can stuff yourself and not even want to look at food, but your spirit's always ready. And so just be hungry on the edge of your seat spiritually this morning. Just say, Lord, I'm ready to receive. And you'll get something from him. Amen. Well, let's pray before we get into the word and ask him for his will to be done. Father, we're just so honored to be here. And Lord, this is the most important part of our week right here, hearing the word of God. And you know, Lord, it was awesome worshiping you and it's awesome fellowshipping. But this is where we get our help. This is where we get our instruction and our guidance. And Lord, you said this. You said that the word is like a lamp. It's like a light unto our feet and our path. Lord, that means you don't want us to stumble around this life. You don't want us to fall into the snares and the traps of the enemy. And Lord, if we'll stay close to your word and if we'll put ourselves in a position to hear your word on a consistent basis and to be doers of it, to spend time with you during the week, Father, we won't stumble. We will be victorious. We will be successful in this life. And so, Father, I just thank you so much for all that you've given us, all that you've blessed us with. Father, we thank you that what will be said this morning will be pertinent to everybody's lives. And Holy Ghost, I just ask you, you know everybody's need here. I don't. And I just pray that I'd say something to every single person here that would just strike a chord with them, that would hit home with them, and that it would be exactly what they need this morning. And it'll be as if you're speaking directly to them, Father. And it'll be a sign unto them that you love them and that you care for them. And Lord, we just give you all the praise and all the glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I'm not going to this place, but, you know, I've always wanted to obey my spirit. And as I was praying, the Lord said, quickly open to Joshua 1 and verse 8. And it's a very popular verse around these parts, but it's not even the message, but I just feel prompted to look at it to remind you. Because people, you know, a lot of times they'll look at the Bible as just being, well, this thing that they have to read. And I look at it as this thing I get to read, you know. And it's like a love letter from God to me. And I take it personally, and I whatever he said in here, it's for me, and I take it for my life. And you know, people don't understand, you know, that there's Bibles sitting on shelves of Walmart all the time, and people are with various needs are walking by those shelves and walking by the bookstores, and you know, they have needs of healing, they have needs of salvation, they have needs financially, they have needs of to be free from depression, anxiety, worry, fear, anything that is below God's best for you, and they just walk by it, and they don't understand the power that's in this thing. And I just want to bring up real quick, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, and I want to point this out to you because I want you to be hungry about the word. I want this church to be excited when the time comes for the preaching of the word, because the word will change your life. Amen? Amen. It says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, talking about the book of the law is the word of God. But you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Now notice this, what the word has the possibility of doing for your life. It says, for then shall your way be made prosperous, and then shall you have good success. Now, I don't, you know, you don't have to raise your hand. Some people wouldn't raise their hand in church for anything. But just raise your hand on the inside, and let me ask you this question. Raise your hand if you agree with it. How many of you want a prosperous and a good, successful path for your life? Well, we all do. And if you didn't say that, we'd have to probably say, well, we need to pray that we need to cast that lying devil out of you, right? Who doesn't want a prosperous, successful journey? Well, the Bible says we can have it. Either the Bible is or it isn't. But it says that we have to do something with the word, right? We have to make the word a part of our lives. We have to make the word an important part of our lives. We have to be excited about the word. We have to spend time with the word. And so I just wanted to bring that up because the preaching and teaching of the word, this isn't repetition here this morning. This isn't, well, this is what they do around the country and around the world on Sunday mornings. No, not here. We don't play church here, right? I want your lives to be changed. I want your lives to look like what God says it can look like. And so that comes through the word. So let's give great honor to the word this morning. Amen. But if you want to, you can open your Bibles to John chapter 8. I'm excited about today's message. But then again, I'm excited about every message. It wasn't until someone taught me the word. You know, I used to be an alcoholic. And when I say that, I'm a preacher up here from the pulpit. I wouldn't lie to you. Alcoholic. I used to be addicted to drugs. Bad. I mean, they had me. I had a gambling addiction that you wouldn't believe. I mean, putting things driving to the Casino Niagara in the middle of the winter in an old truck and going there and losing hundreds of dollars in 5 minutes and emptying bank accounts to just to keep playing for a couple more minutes and lose it all and just being addicted and thinking, how can I get back? And addicted to wrong living. And it wasn't till the word came in, till someone told me, God has a plan for your life, Mike. Wake up. God loves you so much. He cares. He died for you. And it wasn't until then, praise God, that my life began to turn around. And so I'm excited about always sharing the Bible. You know, I told the Lord when he saved me, I know where I was headed. I said, Lord, I will preach the front of the Bible to the back of the Bible, and I'll tell everybody how good you are. And I'll just be so excited about it because it works, amen? And I've seen it work in a lot of people's lives. And so if you're here today, you're in the right place at the right time. But John chapter 8 and verse 1, I'm just going to read down through this real quick. Today's message is twofold. It's going to be for, you know, maybe you're struggling in this area, but also it's going to be for everybody going forward as a believer and how we should be. But also, it's going to be comforting to people as well. John chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. So get a kind of, you know, sometimes we read over the Bible, we leave out the human drama of action because we just see words on a page. But if you really think what's going on in the situation, here was a woman who was taken in the very act. So she was caught in her sin and dragged out into Jesus. And so who knows what she even had on? How embarrassing for her. How terrible for her. And they brought her and set her into Jesus' midst. I always think it's interesting they didn't bring the guy out. You know, the guy was just as guilty as the girl, right? It just shows you sometimes people's hearts on things. But here they brought this woman that was caught in adultery. In the very act. I mean, how sad for her. She must have been full of shame, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's see what the Lord's response to that was. He says, Now Moses, they said to him, Moses in the law commanded that she should be stoned. What do you say? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. If you're wondering, how are they tempting Jesus? Well, see, if he would have disagreed with what Moses said, they would have called him a false prophet. But if he would have said stoner, they said, you don't have the authority to do that. You're not a Roman, you know, in that position where you can do that. And so make those decrees. So what did Jesus do? It says, but Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. Now picture this. Now you have a whole crowd bringing this poor woman out here, telling Jesus, what do we do with her? And Jesus gets on his knees and starts writing in the sand. Now the Bible doesn't tell us what he said or what he wrote, but he wrote something. It says he wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, they just kept nagging. He lifted himself up and said unto them, you know, see, I always think, this is just a side journey here, I think it's important to think before you speak.
Yeah,
and not just fly off at the mouth, right? The Bible says every man be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to wrath, right? Slow to speak. Jesus didn't just spout off. No, I believe he got down, waited to hear from heaven, stood up and gave them something that was awesome. So when they continued asking, he lifted himself up and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. Wow. What wisdom, right? And what a picture into the heart of Jesus. What a picture into the heart of our God. And again, he stooped down on the ground and wrote on the ground. I love it. It's like he said so. He said, okay, I'm just going to get right back down. And that's all I got to say. You know, sometimes you don't need to say a whole lot. I probably should take a lesson in that. Praise the Lord, but we're getting better. Hallelujah. And they which heard it being convicted by their own conscience went out one by one. So nobody threw a stone, right? Why? They all had sin. They all had sin. It didn't matter if their sin was adultery or not. Adultery will send you to hell just as quick as stealing will. Just as quick as, you know, doing something wrong to your body. You know, I love the body of Christ. They'll hammer people on certain things. But no, people need to look in the mirror. Your sin that Jesus died for is the same sin that will send you to hell as some, you know, people magnify different sins, right? And they magnify the sin of adultery. But when Jesus said, listen, your sin's just as bad, they said, okay, You're right. They dropped the stones and they walked away. And they were, and Jesus was left alone with her and the woman standing in the midst, verse 10. And when Jesus lifted himself up, he saw nobody but the woman. He said unto her, "Woman, where are your accusers? Has no man condemned you?" She said, "No man, no man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, I love this, "Neither do I." Praise God. "Neither do I condemn you." Now, that's not the God that I was taught about growing up as a little kid. Here was a woman who, I mean, undoubtedly did something very wrong. Adultery is not a good thing, right? No sin is a good thing. And here we have a woman that is brought in the very midst, just minutes from committing this sin. And Jesus isn't mad at her. Jesus isn't angry. Jesus doesn't make her feel bad about herself. Jesus doesn't beat her up. You know, you, lady, you haven't been in church enough lately. Lady, you did this. No, he said, "Neither do I condemn you." I love it. But then he does tell her, he says, "Go and sin no more." He wants you to stop the wrong behavior. See, because here's what you have to understand. The wrong behavior and the wrong things in your life, they're just not helping you, right? It's not the things you're doing right that are blessing you. It's the things you're doing right that are blessing you, not the things you're doing wrong. The things you're doing wrong are hurting you. And so the Lord says, "I don't condemn you, but go and don't do this anymore. It's not helping your life." But this is what I want us to see today, is that I think it's dangerous to the body of Christ and as Christians to all of a sudden forget the mercy that was given to us and then not in turn given it to others. Amen? I think it's a dangerous and a sad state of affairs to be labeled a Christian, to be a condemning, judgmental Christian with no mercy, no grace, and no forgiveness when you needed mercy and you needed grace and you needed forgiveness. And so today the message is twofold. I told you that. Number one, it'll be for all of us to go out with an attitude like Jesus, which will draw people to the body of Christ, which will get people to heaven. But also, if you're here and you're in need of mercy, I don't know about you, but I don't like my past that much. I'm thankful for mercy. Maybe you need mercy. Maybe you need grace. Well, just know that's available. Amen? Nobody's condemning you. And I'll tell you what, if there are Christians that condemn you, that's their problem. That's their problem, because Jesus isn't. If there's a woman who had adultery right there in the very midst and he didn't beat her up, he ain't beating you up. Praise God. So we need to look at some of these things. You know, the Bible says that we ought to be imitators of God. The more that we're like him, the more that our lives will be successful. The more that we have him working in our lives, the more power we'll have, the more grace, the more peace, the more prosperity, the more we're like God, right? See, Jesus on earth had all his needs met. He was victorious everywhere he went. God always answered his prayers. Why? He was full of God. The more full of God we are, the more victorious that we'll be. And this is a huge, huge area. And I think it's terrible when Christians want to act like the devil. I think it is. I don't know about you, but I've been around him. I've acted like him before. And I've been around him where, man, I'm hurting, but I don't want anything they got. And actually, I want to stay far away from how they are. Now, that doesn't give us an excuse to stay away. Jesus is still the same. Jesus is still wonderful, regardless of how people are. But people give, Bon Jovi, you give love a bad name. Sometimes Christians give love Jesus a bad name, right? It's just true. And a lot of times it's done in ignorance. So we're going to take the ignorance factor out of it. Because let me tell you something. I told you this, that the things you're doing wrong are hurting you. If you're a judgmental, critical type of person, no mercy, no grace, well, that's not being like God. That's not walking in God's highest and best for your life. And when you do that, you open the door to the enemy to come into your own life. And I'll show you in the scriptures that that's true. And so we just need to be a certain way and just be sweet and be loving. And be instead of being the ones that kick when people are down, being maybe the one out of 100 that will say, come on, I'll help you. It's okay. God's got a second, third, fourth, fifth, 10th, 100th, 200th chance for you. Anybody ever need in the 100th chance is me. Anybody ever need in 1,000? I've needed them all. Praise God. But he's good. He's good. Amen. And I always have to put this as a warning that this isn't a license to us to sin, right? This isn't a license to go do wrong. No, we don't do that. We wouldn't want to step into the devil's territory. But I'll tell you, thank God for mercy. But we need to be merciful as well. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. Praise God. I remember hearing these scriptures and a long time ago, and it just blessed me so much because, you know, how many of you know you're acquainted with yourself more than you're acquainted with anybody else? You know your weaknesses. You know your failures. You know where you struggle. You know the areas that you have a tough time in. You know them better than I know them about you, and I know them about myself better than you know them about me. And I'll tell you this, I'm glad God doesn't condemn me on things, because I don't even need God to point them out. I already got it, Father. I already know where I'm missing it. I already know where I'm struggling. I don't need God to point them out to me. I don't need God to have a grand revelation to me. I know where I miss it. I know where I struggle. And so I'm glad he's not condemning me. He's helping me. And he's loving me. Praise the Lord. Well, Luke chapter 9 and verse 51, I believe this will be a blessing to you. It says, it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. So Jesus was headed to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him. So this group of people didn't receive the Son of God because his face was though as he was go to Jerusalem. They weren't happy about that. Now notice this, when his disciples, the closest ones to Jesus, James and John saw this, what did they see? They saw people not receiving their Savior. They saw people not receiving their main guy that they love and will do anything for, and it bothered them, right? It bothered them. And so it's like, you know, someone talking bad about your mama, right? You don't like that, right? They don't like when someone did this to Jesus. And it said, when the disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, will you... I love it. Will you that we, would you, or do you want us to, King James is kind of confusing, but this is what I'll just put it in my translation. Would you command, or do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? You see that there?
Yeah.
He said, the disciples are asking him, hey, they didn't receive you. They didn't treat you the way you should be treated. Lord, do you want us to pray that God would send fire to consume these? Right? Isn't that what he's saying? Fill in the blank, whatever word you want to call him, right? And listen to what Jesus' response was. Now, he was the one being wronged. It wasn't even them. But he turned and rebuked them and said, now this is amazing, you know not manner what manner of spirit you are, for the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. So here were a group of people missing it, doing wrong, not doing the right things, in fact, offending Jesus personally, right there, not receiving him, probably maybe cussing at him, maybe ignoring him, maybe who knows exactly all that took place there, but we know they didn't receive him. And the disciples want to call fire down and consume him. Jesus says, you don't know what spirit that's from that wants to do that. What's he saying? That's the spirit of the devil. What's the spirit of the devil? Condemnation? Come down hard on you when you're doing wrong? Not be loving when somebody's missing it. Here, these people were missing it. And Jesus said, listen, I'm here to save men, not to destroy them. Listen, I might not get them here on this trip, but if we command fire to come down from heaven, they're done. But maybe I'll get them on the next trip. Maybe I'll win them on the 10th trip coming through here. Maybe I can keep coming through here, and they can keep spiting me and keep criticizing me, and I can just keep being loving, and maybe it'll soften up their heart. And maybe before they die, they'll receive me, and then they'll have eternity in heaven. You see, God's thinking on it. The disciples were... like the body of Christ can be a lot of times. But Jesus was like, no, I love these people. I'm here to help these people. Even though they're wrong, I'm here to help them. Hallelujah. Matthew 9 and verse 10. Yeah. And it came to pass, Matthew 9 and verse 10. As Jesus sat and ate meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Well, we don't need to tell you a thesis on the word sinner. We know what that is. They weren't living right. They were doing wrong. They were missing it. And they came and sat down with Jesus. And when the Pharisees, verse 11, who were the religious folk back then, saw it, they said unto the disciples, why does your master eat with the publicans and the sinners? Basically saying, how can he have anything to do with such wretched people? Right? Yeah. That's kind of how a lot of people's attitudes are. You know, the people are going wrong. You know, stay away. Now, I'm not telling you to go the way they're going, but they need you. And they need love sometimes. Amen? And let's see here. Let's pick it up in verse 12. But Jesus heard it. He said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick need it. See, it's the ones that are sick, the ones that are hurting that need the love. Right? Yeah, praise God, yeah. And but go and learn, verse 13, what this meaneth. I will, now when he says I will, he's telling you the will of God is this right here. He says, I will, or my will is mercy and not sacrifice. And I've not come to call the righteous. The righteous are already in. I've come to call the sinner to repentance. But here's what I want you to see is Jesus said, the will that I have for people that are missing it and people that are going wrong and doing it wrong, my will for them is mercy, which means his will is what His will is not just for him, it's for us. The Lord desires mercy not only for your life when you need it, but He desires you to be merciful when others need it. And to be a certain way, and I'm going to show you in the Word that it benefits or hurts your life the way you are about this subject. It really does, and we'll see it. We'll see it. So we see that Jesus said the spirit of the devil is to condemn. The spirit of the devil, the spirit of, you see, because Romans 8 and verse 1 says there's no condemnation. Well, no condemnation, so any condemnation is outside the will of God. Anything outside the will of God is of the devil. And Jesus said the spirit of the devil is to condemn, to make people feel bad, to beat them up for their past, beat them up for their wrongdoings. How could you do this? I can't believe you could do this. That's the devil. But go to Galatians 6 and verse 1, and let's clearly see what the Father says about this. I don't know about you, but, you know, sitting there when I heard this stuff, I was like, wow, I'm so thankful. I'm glad you're merciful, Father. I've needed it a lot. Praise the Lord. Galatians 6 and verse 1 says this. Now, I love this verse. I like things that tell me in the Bible, things that I can do that I tangibly know that if I do them, God's pleased with me. I like that. I've always been wanting to be a pleaser of God, even when I was, I remember one time being in the woods with Pastor Tim, who's the Jamestown pastor, and we had, I mean, we had everything out there that you shouldn't have, and we sat there around the fire, and we were just like, man, you know, we know God's got something for us, but we just didn't know, we couldn't put a finger on it, you know, we didn't identify the call, but even back then, we had a tender heart towards God and wanting to please Him, even though we weren't doing things very pleasing, but He never gave up on me. Amen. He'll never give up on you, praise the Lord. But Galatians 6 and verse 1 says this, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, that sounds like they're struggling, doesn't it? Overtaken in a fault means they're struggling so bad in what they're doing that they can't break free from it. They can't get over it. They can't get over addictions. They can't get over the habits. They can't get over the wrong living, the sin in their life. They're overtaken. Now, naturally, and the way I thought as growing up is, those are the people you shun. Those are the people you stay away from. Those are the people that can't have part with God. They're overtaken in a fault. How dare them? People living wrong and doing wrong and struggling, right? Yeah. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual. Now here, we're all going to be able to have a litmus test to find out how spiritual we are today. Now let me break down that word spiritual because it sounds like a scary word. And I just want you to know I'm not racist towards this side. I just seem to go over here a lot. So I love all you over here too, but I don't know what it is. I'm drawn. Maybe it's the water. I don't know, but I just don't want you to feel bad over here. Praise God. And it says, if a man be overtaken in fault, you which are spiritual. Now, spiritual means just like being like God. God is a spirit. That's what that means. It's not anything fancy or anything spooky or weird. You who which are spiritual, or you could say it this way, you that are like God, this is how you'll act. Restore such a one in the spirit of condemnation, in the spirit of making them feel like garbage. No, in the spirit of meekness, restore them. You know, when they restore vehicles, and they, you know, nowadays, they you know, when they restore a vehicle, of course, they put the new parts in them and stuff, and there's vehicles that get restored, they're better than they ever were. The rebuild is better than they ever, you know, newer parts that'll last longer, just different things, and Lord says, restore them. Pick them back up. Put them in a place that they're even better than they were before. And Lord says, if you're spiritual, that'd be your attitude. I'll tell you what, if you're a person here, you need to get this fixed. If you're somebody that is coming down hard on people, now I'm not telling you to go the way people are going in sin and to participate in sin. That'll hurt your life. But if you're just so judgmental and so full of condemnation towards people, you're not spiritual and you're of the wrong spirit, right? Do you see that? Lord says, if your spirit, you'll restore them. Now, this is what I want you to see concerning your own life. It says, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. I've seen this before. I saw it one time with a gentleman who, he fell into sexual immorality and adultery. I saw this with a person that was not in this church. And there was another person that came to them with these kind of statements. Finger pointing, how dare you? How could you do that? You see, never say, how could you do that to somebody? Because you don't know what people are facing. You don't know the attacks, the assault the enemy has put out against them. It's not our job to judge people. And they came with this. How could you do that? You're in this and you did this and came and just so hard on them. And you know what? Within a year, they fell into the same exact thing, only worse. Why? They didn't consider themselves. They put themselves on a high and mighty platform saying, how could you do this? I would never do that. Oh, that's not for me. They didn't consider themselves. They didn't come with mercy. And they fell into the same thing. The same thing, only worse. Yeah, it's true. It's sad. And so you need to consider yourself. Praise God. See, why I love that story of the adulterous woman is because Jesus didn't say, you who are without adultery, cast the first stone. He says, you that are without sin. He has it on an equal and level playing field. So the only way you could start casting stones is if you're perfect. And guess what, honey? You ain't. I'm sorry, I don't mean that to be rude, but you're not, you ain't Jesus yet. And you're always going to need mercy. And you say, well, I don't need mercy for what they need mercy. There you go. That's that wrong spirit. That's that casting stone spirit that Jesus would have to come out of heaven and say to you. We're talking about sin here, not just that what they did and what you didn't do. Praise God. You know, when I was living wrong, I grew up in the church. I grew up in a Methodist church and wonderful people. But, you know, this particular church didn't really tell me much about Jesus. And a lot of the people were very full of condemnation and very judgmental. And you know, I had a grandma, and bless her heart, I'm not speaking bad against your grandma, you know that. And I had a grandma who loved Jesus, loved her with all her heart, but went to heaven, but she just wasn't taught a lot of things and was very limited in what she was taught because of where she went to church. And she used to slug me. I mean, not literally, but it might as well have been. Slug me over the head with the Bible. Back when I was living wrong and just, you need to change your life. How many of you know this? You cannot skin or clean a fish before it's caught. Can you? Grandma was trying to skin the fish before it was even caught. I wasn't caught yet. Amen? And even when you are caught, if people haven't renewed their minds, they still might continue. And even if you have renewed your mind, you're still going to miss it and need mercy. But I had people all around me that were just pounding me. They would take me to youth pastors and they would pound me and I would just fake like I liked it so I could get them off my back, and there'd be people all around me pointing the finger, and it never brought me into the kingdom until I met someone on a baseball team, on the Allegheny Cattaraugus baseball team. I met him and he was full of joy. He always talked well about his wife while the other guys always put their wives down and all these things, and he was so full of joy and kindness and happy. I just was drawn to that. You know, I was a depressed, miserable individual, and I was drawn to that. And I told him about my life, and I was just expecting, because I knew he was a churchgoer. I knew he was someone that loved the Lord and went to church all the time. And I was just waiting for the finger pointing. And he just said, you know what? God's got something so much better for you, and he loves you. He's not mad at you. He gave you Jesus. He cares about you. He wants you to be forgiven. He loves you. I said, well, what about the drinking? The Lord will fix that. He loves you. What about the drug? He doesn't care. What about this? The Lord is so good. And I said, wow, now that's something I want to hear. And, you know, it's not just something to please my ears. That's the Word of God. That's how God really is. And so that brought me into the kingdom, not what everybody else. And how many people are being kept out? How many people have we kept out by our attitudes? The Bible says love is how people will know us. Love should be the mark of our lives, being kind and compassionate, forgiving and merciful. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to show you an example of mercy that is just so wonderful to see in Matthew chapter 1. Anybody blessed here this morning hearing this? This is the Word. You know, I'm not just trying to tickle your ears. And again, we're not condoning sin. Absolutely not. Sin will hurt your life. But God paid for your sin. Amen? There's an answer for it. Thank the Lord. In Matthew chapter 1, I want to show you an example of mercy. In verse 18... Matthew 1 and verse 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, or this way. Or you could say it this way. It happened this way. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together. Now, let me just blow the top off that. What that means is before they consummated the marriage. Y'all get it? Yeah. Okay. I want to make sure. You know, I don't want to turn red up here. But anyways, it says, before they did that, she was found with child with the Holy Ghost. She had a child. She was pregnant before Joseph did anything about it. Now, that's weird, right? I mean, can you imagine Joseph? He knows, I have not touched her. And she's got a baby in her belly. Now notice this. Notice what it says. Well, first of all, let me ask you, what would your reaction be? I know mine would be, what? Right? He had not been with Mary. They did not have intercourse yet. There is no reason for her to have a baby unless she went somewhere else. Right? But notice this. So Joseph initially, and rightfully so, is thinking, my wife has run around on me. Right? It's what I would be thinking. I know I didn't touch you and your belly's getting bigger. We have a problem. Houston, right? We have a problem. But notice this mercy. Then Joseph, I love this, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example. You know that was the law, right? To bring her out and make her a public example. Here, she's committed adultery. She's got a baby from another man. That's what was supposed to happen. But he was just. He was merciful. He said, I'm not willing to make her a public example. I'm not willing to take this person that I love. I'm willing to trust them that there's got to be something I'm missing here. Maybe I sleepwalk or something. I don't know what he was thinking. I guess he would be doing more than walking in his sleep if that happened. But he said, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. He said, I'm going to handle this privately behind closed doors. Hallelujah. In verse 20 it says, he was rewarded for it too. He had a visitation from God for his actions. But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. I'll tell you what, that makes me jealous. I want angel of the Lord's to appear to me. That'd be great to have these visitations of God. But while an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, you son of David, fear not. Don't be afraid of this. Take unto Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived is her as the Holy Ghost, is of the Holy Ghost. It's not another man. This is a God thing. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call him Jesus, and he shall save his people from his sins. Talk about turning it around. All of a sudden being like, I'm not happy about that, to being absolutely thrilled that that baby's in her belly, that it's of God. But he was a just man. And he didn't want to make a public example of her. You know, 1 Peter 4 and verse 8 says this, love covers. Everybody say cover. Covers. You see, if I take this, simple example, but it'll help you understand it. If I take this pen, and we liken this pen, and we call this pen sin, and I take this in love, you know what love does? Love goes right over top of it. Now, you might be able to see it underneath, but if you're back here, you can't see it. The Bible says love covers. Love doesn't do this. Look at everyone. Look at what they're doing. Did you hear? Oh, I saw them down at this place. Oh, I heard them say this. Oh, I heard. No, you know what love does? Love takes it and whoop, covers the sin. Just like Joseph did. Not willing to be public about it, but the Bible says it was a just way to handle that. Amen. These people that, oh, did you hear this? Oh, did you hear that? Oh, this person was doing that. Oh, this and that and that and the other thing. That's not love. Always ask yourself when you do something, what are my motivations? What are my purposes? What is my motivation for doing this? You know, I always tell people this when they come up to me as their pastor and tell me something about somebody else. I always want to know, what's your motivation for telling me? Is it to tell me so I can help them, or is it to tell me so you can expose them and make them look bad in my eyes? There's a difference, right? There's a difference. If you want to help somebody you know, here's a good way to look at it. You know what gossip is? When you go to other people about other people's problems that can't do a lick about it to help them. You just want to talk about it. But when you go to somebody that can do something about it and you go with the right motives, that's different. But you know, there's people, they just, oh, pastor, oh, friend, or over whoever, wrong motives, not motivated by love. Love covers sin. Love covers sin, praise God. It doesn't expose it. Now, to close the message here, we're going to look at the benefits for us. Go to Matthew 7. I want to see that you living like this will either help or hurt your life. Praise God. How many of you, if you're on a team, you want to win? I do. Every time I was on a baseball team or anything, I wanted to win. I didn't want to be on a losing team. I still don't. I mean, yesterday we celebrated Caleb's birthday with my mom. His birthday's coming up. And she got him this little T-ball set. and like a plastic ball, big bat, you know, and trying to teach him, you know, to hit and all that good stuff. And I was out the one catching the balls, and my mom was up there hitting, and she was kind of getting the hang of it and kind of hitting it pretty hard at me. And I really wasn't trying that hard until someone spoke up and said, "Daddy sure is missing all." I said, "Okay, it's on." I said, "Not anymore." Because the competitive juices came flowing at me, and I said, "I will not miss a ball." And of course, my mom's trying to hit it, and she got a couple through me. But just, I never want to lose. I mean, why would you want to lose, right? I mean, we do lose sometimes, and we sometimes stumble, and we sometimes fail. And thank God, God's there to put us back on the winning team. But that's never my goal. My goal is I don't want to be the best at that. I want to lose at that. No, that's not right. I want excellence. I want to do the right things. But, and we'll get to that. If you want to be on the winning team, you'll see. But it says Matthew 7, verse 1, it says, "Judge not that you be not judged. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you use, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it'll be measured unto you again." Let me read that in a different translation. It says, "Do not judge and criticize and condemn others." Wow. "So that you may not be judged and criticized and condemned yourself." What's it called? The law of sowing and reaping. You want to be judgmental? You want to cast condemnation on people that are missing it? You want to be critical of people? Well, get ready, because there's coming a day when you're going to have to be standing in that place of needing mercy. And guess what? Mercy won't come. You know, a farmer plants a corn seed and doesn't go out there and expect to see a field full of tomatoes. Don't be planting criticism, condemnation, and judgmental ways, and then expect when you're in the need of mercy to have people shower love on you. Don't expect it. The Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that's what he'll reap." Don't mock God. Don't mock God. Don't plant something and expect it. Don't plant an apple tree and expect to get a pear tree, right? That's why we need to take this into consideration. Consider our own selves. I'll tell you this. I want mercy to come my way. I am not stupid. In some things, maybe. But I know. I'm smart enough to know that I'm going to need mercy someday. I'm smart enough to know that I'm going to need compassion. I'm smart enough to know that I'm going to need forgiveness, that I'm going to need someone to be gracious with me, that I'm going to need somebody to let me off the hook. I know that I'm going to be in that place. And so because of that, I'm going to sow into my future. And that people that come across me that need it, I'm going to give it to them, because I want to set myself up in the future. For when I stand in that place, I get it poured out. Amen. Who likes this? Nobody likes this. You don't like to receive that. Haven't you ever missed it? You ever missed it? And there are two sides of the coin. One side of the coin is this. But have you ever missed it, and then you've had somebody say, "Listen, it's okay, I forgive you." And you're just like a two-ton weight's just lifted off you. Oh my gosh, thank you so much, you know. And that's what I want. But you don't want to be on the losing team. But it says, "For just as you judge and criticize and condemn others, you'll be judged and criticized and condemned. And in accordance with the measure that you use to deal it out to others, it'll be dealt out to you again." It's true. It's like, I like to use that farmer example, you know, the 100-acre cornfield, and he only plants 25 acres of corn. He doesn't go out there expecting to see 100 acres of corn. If he does, he's foolish. He's a foolish farmer. And if we just dole it out a little, we can expect it a little. But I'll tell you what, if we err on the side of mercy, if we make love our aim and make love our goal, and we shower that, it's going to be showered back upon us when we need it. Praise God. James chapter 2, and we'll close with this. Praise God. We have a lot to work on this week. You know, I tell people, take the message that your pastor gives you, meditate on it, get it deep in you, be a doer of that word. It's not just for today. This is the day, this is the time where you pull it off the shelf. And sorry, I always, when they walk in, I just get a little off, I don't know. Messes me up, praise God. James chapter 2, in verse 12, it says this. It says, "So speak and do as they that would be judged by the law of liberty." It says, you want to be a person that speaks and acts as somebody that you want to be judged by the law of liberty. Verse 13 says, "For he that will have judgment without mercy," when it's time to dole out something and you leave mercy out. It says, "They that will have judgment without mercy, for he that has judgment without mercy, that has showed no mercy," let me read that again, I'm confused right now. For he that shall have judgment without mercy, that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoices against judgment. What's it saying is, you who have shown no mercy in your judgment will receive no mercy in your judgment. So speak and do as those that will be judged by the law of mercy, the law of liberty, the law of love. For he'll have judgment without mercy, the ones that have shown no mercy. What's it saying? It'll come back on you. But here's what the last thing says. Mercy rejoices against judgment. Now that word might be a little confusing there, but in the Greek that word means triumphs or rejoices against. You could say it this way. Mercy triumphs or rejoices or defeats or wins against judgment. If you want to be on the winning team, be on the side of mercy. Be on the side of grace. Be on the side of forgiveness. Be on the side of compassion. Be on the side of, I'll lift you up when you're down. And the Bible says that mercy rejoices or mercy triumphs over judgment. What will happen when you're standing in that court of judgment and you've used mercy and you used compassion and you used grace? When you're standing in there, guess what the judge is going to rule for you? Mercy. Mercy. Compassion for you. Why? Mercy wins always. Err on that side. Amen? Praise God. You ought to be on the winning team, right? You don't want your mom to be able to hit the ball between your legs. Praise the Lord. You want to win. Glory to God. And so, praise God. So if you're here and you need mercy, let me tell you something. You just ask the Father to forgive you. 1 John 1 and verse 9 says, confess your faults. And he's faithful and just to forgive you. Not to condemn you, but to forgive you. And Isaiah 43 and verse 25 says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgression. And I will, well, he says, I blot out thy transgression for my own sake. And I will not remember your sin. God is so good. And if you're in need of mercy, you just go ahead and you just pull up to that dinner table of mercy and you get it from God. And then you be someone that doles it out. As you have received, freely give. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the word today. Lord, we desire to be different. We desire to live and look like Jesus. Father, thank you for the mercy that you've shown to us. Father, thank you for the grace and the compassion that you've shown to us. Thank you for your example with the adulterous woman, Lord. You showed us your attitude. Listen, I don't condemn you and just stop doing what you're doing because it's hurting your life. Father, you're amazing. You're so good to us. We just care so much, Lord, what you say and what you think. And Lord, we just want to be the way you are. Father, number one, because I want to be obedient to you. But number two, I know that when I do the word, I look more like you. When I look like more like you, I'm more victorious. I have more power in my life. I have more blessings in my life. And Lord, that's what I want. And that's what I want for the people here. So Lord, if we have been judgmental and we have been critical, well, praise God, there's forgiveness for it. We just ask you to forgive us for that. And we just desire from this point on going forward to be in mercy. And if we're in need of mercy, we just thank you it's available to us so freely. Father, we love you. We're just so thankful for what Jesus did for us. Now, if I could ask everybody to bow your heads and to close your eyes. I never like to close a service, especially Sunday morning, and now we're on the internet. And who knows who's listening? I don't know everybody personally. But if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you say, do I need Jesus? Well, the Bible says that if you receive him, you get eternal life. You don't perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible says it's simple, that God loved you so much, he gave you Jesus, that you don't have to jump through a million religious hoops. You don't have to be the biggest giver in the world. You don't have to have the best church attendance. You just got to believe in Jesus. And so if you're listening in this building or if you're listening over the internet and you want to receive Jesus, ask yourself this question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that. If your answer isn't a 100% yes that you would go to heaven, then that means you need Jesus. It's a free gift. You don't have to become a member of this church. You don't have to, like I said, go through a million religious hoops. You just believe on him. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, anybody in this building, if you want to receive Jesus, nobody's looking around, would you just raise your hand if you never have? I don't know everybody personally. Is there anybody here that wants to receive Jesus and know that you're going to heaven? I see that hand. You can put it down. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your boldness. Is there anybody else that wants to receive Jesus that never has? I don't like to rush this. Praise the Lord. Anybody? Father, we had a hand here in the building. We're so thankful for that. And Lord, we thank you that if there's anybody listening, that they're going to learn how to be saved. Now, if you raised your hand, or if you should have raised your hand, or if you're listening to this, you listen up. The Bible says it's easy. You just got to believe on the Lord. We're all going to pray a prayer with you. We're all going to say it with you. You're not going to stand out. We're not trying to embarrass you. And I just ask that you don't just say it, but you mean it with all your heart. So let's go ahead today, and let's just all repeat this after me. And if you rose your hand here, if you know you should have, or or if you're listening, you jump in on this prayer. You mean this with all your heart. Everybody say this. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can open your eyes. How simple is that, right? That's not how I was told, but that's what the Bible says. And let me just say this, if you rose your hand or if you should have, God has more for you now. And the next step for you is to get under a Bible teaching pastor. I'd love to have you here, but I know not everybody's called to be at my church. And go where God's called you, where God's speaking to you, where you feel at home. But get under a Bible teaching pastor. Get faithful, because that's where your life will grow. Amen? Amen. Well, you are all such a blessing. Remember, no Wednesday service. It was so good to see you. We'll see you all back here next Sunday at 10 o'clock. You're dismissed.